It's Stokely and Zach on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
It happened quickly for Gary Kubiak, didn't it? Here's what I mean. Nikki Jabala tweeted, this is at some point last week at the back end. Wait. Or maybe it was tweeted. See, with the day off in the middle
right,
of the week.
The day off in the middle of the week throws you off. I was thinking I was going to sleep in, have a good Saturday or Sunday, and all of a sudden it's like, do we have work today?
Yep.
Yeah, we have work today.
Yep.
Gosh.
What would you rather have?
What is today? Today's Thursday? Oh, my God. Those are the thoughts when I woke up this morning.
Right.
And I'm not alone, right? I mean, it's just weird right in the middle of the week.
It's weird. It disrupted the flow, but I was excited about it. Monday and Tuesday, you say, once you get done with Monday, you're like, hey, we got one more show, and then it's a mini weekend.
Well, look, I'm not saying I wasn't excited about it.
No.
Very excited about it.
Of course. But here's what I need to ask.
I think that should be the case, like once a month.
Get Wednesday off.
Yeah, once a month. It's a national holiday on a Wednesday. That was pretty cool.
What's the holiday? A new one every month?
Doesn't matter.
Pick a different cause every month? Day off?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's just like, hey, this is how we're going to roll in the United States of America now. Okay, we're going to pick one day a month. Right in the middle on a Wednesday, and you're going to have that day off.
Look,
and wouldn't that be great?
I would love it. What you're doing is you're adding up the nap time that they take in France and just applying it to one day in the middle of the week.
I didn't follow you. I don't know about napping in France,
but they nap a lot? Siesta. Yeah.
They love their naps.
People like go home from work after lunch, take a little nap, come back,
okay,
finish their work.
All right. But I think that would be a good thing because it does. Like you said, you're on Monday this week and you're like, oh man, 2 days, I got a day off. It kind of rejuvenates you and you got you going. And then now on the back end, we're like, okay, just got two more days. We got the weekend. It kind of rejuvenates you and refreshes you and
Let me ask you this, though. I just bounced this off Steven and Brantley. What would you rather have if I made you choose a day off in the middle of the week, once a month, or a three-day weekend guaranteed once a month?
You give me the three-day weekend.
Yeah?
Yeah. I like them consecutively, if you can, right? But I'll take either one of them, but if I had a choice, I'd do the three-day weekend. What you say?
I think I'll take the three-day weekend,
too. It's hard to beat
that. But
are
you taking the Monday or the Friday?
What's that?
You taking the Monday or the Friday?
Oh, that's a good one.
Take the Monday.
Give me the Friday.
Mm-mm. That's a wrong choice.
Give me the Friday.
Your Sunday fun day. It's now just out of sight. You're not worried about it.
Sunday fun day?
What? Yeah. There's no work Monday. So you do whatever you want Sunday.
Well, yeah, but I'm going to do it on the front end. So now I'm doing it.
You're front load it.
Well, yeah, I can think Thursday night and just say, boom. I can do whatever I want Thursday night and not have to worry about Friday being a work day, and I'm going to carry it on over. Either way, look, I think you can't pick a wrong one.
Make it happen. Bob Call, make it happen. Come on now.
You listening? Let's start a trend here.
Right.
Don't you think if we started something, it might become a trend and catch on other places?
Let's just start doing it ourselves and
we'll
see
do
if
it
everyone
with
will
our
fall
show.
In.
With our show. Let's just start doing it. I like that. So We'll get our schedule, and you know when August comes, we're going to say we're taking this day off. It's going to be our off day.
We'll give the listeners a heads up. We'll do a best of show,
right?
So you won't be missing out.
Exactly, and then they can start partaking with us and joining in on it with us.
It's
a great idea.
Look
how we come up with good things.
Well,
on this
see
show.
You later.
It happened pretty quickly for Gary Kubiak, and here's what I mean. I'm reading a tweet here from Nikki. I couldn't tell you if it was last week, Monday, Tuesday, we're lost. But recently, Nikki tweeted, the contract of Broncos senior personnel advisor, Tom Heckert, expired. He told 9 News he will step away from working to focus on his health. That leaves Gary Kubiak as the lone senior personnel advisor on the Broncos staff. And I thought that was very interesting because it wasn't too long ago, Stoke, that Gary Kubiak was just brought back in the fold, this past year. I think it was during the season where they made him a college scout.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, 6 months later, he's the only senior personnel advisor for the Denver Broncos.
Well, best for, you know, Tom Heckert and his health issues that he's going through. He's been going through, I think, those for a couple years now. Not quite sure, but the best to him, and hopefully everything goes well for him. And you look at, you know, but you said the only senior personnel. I mean, how many do you have on a normal team would be my question. But it has been quick for Gary Kubiak. But Gary Kubiak has a lot of experience. When you're a head football coach for as long as he's been a head football coach and been in the NFL for as long as he's been in the NFL, he knows the game. And so I think it's a good move by the Broncos, keeping him around, elevating him to a new title or whatever it may be, giving him more responsibility. I think that's a good thing. But this whole time that we've been doing the show, you've been talking about, you know, we have a rundown. You've been talking, you know, through the things, and I've had the wrong rundown in front of me.
Come on.
I had it from, and I've been looking for, like, what is he talking about? And I had my other one in front of me, and that just goes to show you we had a day off yesterday.
Come on, man.
I was like, where is he getting this?
So you're looking at, like, Tuesday's show.
Yeah, it's like, where is this stuff at? And I'm like, oh, it's the wrong one.
You are unbelievable.
Wow. But I think it's a good move by the Broncos, obviously. And we got the news a week or two ago about Gary Kubiak's title.
Right.
But now with Tom Heckert leaving, look, Gary's been around a long time. And so it's quick, but for a guy like that, it should be quick.
Well, here's the one question I ask. Is since that he's the only senior personnel advisor left. I don't know how many other NFL teams have, but I know the Broncos now only have one, and it's Gary Kubiak. Is this continuing to trend in the direction where Gary Kubiak is not at his final stop with the Denver Broncos?
Yes. That's what I think.
That it's... Wait, hold on. What are you saying yes to? That he's not done. He's going to keep trending in a direction where his title now is not ultimately going to be his title in 3 years.
Right. Okay. I think eventually, you know, the way this thing is going, eventually Gary Kubiak takes over general manager. John Elway bumps to, you know, whatever.
President of football.
Yeah, just kind of whatever. And he relinquishes the GM title and role possibility. And Gary takes over that. So I think that's where this thing is trending. And when it happens, I don't know, but if you ask me, that's what I would guess is going to happen here in the next year, 2 years, 3 years. Don't know, but it's going to happen here.
I read a
you
single.
Agree?
I do. I just feel like we're kind of barreling down that road. I mean, within a 7-month period, you go from college scouting to now being a senior personnel advisor, now being the only senior personnel advisor with John, the way that his contract's set up. He's got 3 more years, I believe, after this year. I could just see it happening. I could see it happening before John's contract is up.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, maybe after this year.
Maybe
where
so.
Where John just says, you know what, the GM stuff.
After another walk-off.
Let me pass
after another walk-off.
That would be nice.
It's like, let me put this thing upstairs. Let me hoist this thing one more time. And Gary, you go ahead. You step into my shadow.
I'd like to start out this press conference with a thank you to John Elway.
Stoke, I read a sentence.
That might be one of the best ever. I want to start this press conference off with a thank you to Brandon Stokely. Okay. All right. That's an all-time classic. You got to love it.
You can't beat it.
Well,
you can try. But you can't.
Nope.
Stoke, I read a sentence earlier today that brought on a slight twinge of anxiety, and I have to share it with you when we come back. Stoke, I read a sentence earlier today that brought on a slight twinge of anxiety. I didn't get full-blown anxiety.
Okay.
Wasn't full-blown anxious. Okay?
Just slightly.
Slight twinge. I felt a wiggle of anxiety within me. And that's because I was reading the breakdowns after we did this we talked about this article that NFL.com released earlier today that ranked each division in the National Football League by its quarterbacks. And we had a great fun conversation that we'll touch on again in just a few minutes. But after they give the ranking, okay, they gave a breakdown of why that was the case. And when it came time to break down the NFC West. When they were breaking down the NFC West quarterbacks, there was a sentence in there that said, Josh Rosen is my pick for Offensive Rookie of the Year. He's a sensational talent and a quick study with solid weapons and a defense flanking him in the desert. But it was that initial sentence that, and this is, again, from NFL.com. Oh, who was it?
Doesn't matter.
I forget his name.
Doesn't matter.
Well, anyway, he said, and it was Adam Sheen. Just want to give him credit. It was that first sentence that Adam Sheen.
I knew you wouldn't listen.
Said, Josh Rosen is my pick for offensive rookie of the year. He's a sensational talent and quick study with solid weapons and a defense flanking him in the desert. If Josh Rosen goes out to have immediate success and proves himself to be sort of a, you know, Dak Prescott type of rookie, a Ben Roethlisberger type of rookie, who else was in that class? Was it Matt Ryan? That they just couldn't lose games, or was that Flacco? Anyway, I forget. If one of these guys like Josh Rosen walks into the league, and the Broncos had a chance to select them, and like Adam Sheen says, he does go on and win Offensive Rookie of the Year, it's going to be hard to watch something like that happen, especially when he's on the board at 5. He doesn't go to 13, I believe it was, and it's going to make matters just not worse. That's the wrong verbiage, but it'll make it harder to watch if Bradley Chubb has the type of rookie year that you have suggested that he could have.
It will. What did I suggest?
Well, I'm not saying that you don't believe Bradley Chubb is going to come in and have immediate success, okay, but you've also said that, like, you know, don't be surprised if it's, you know.
I thought I said he was going to be a double-digit sack guy. 10 sacks.
Okay.
Right around 10 sacks. Yeah, no?
Let me rephrase this. You've always told me with NFL rookies, don't put a bunch of stock
in. Yes. But I think when you say that, you look at, it's a quarterback. And that's what would make it hurt. All these other guys, you know, if they go out, Roquan Smith and these guys, you know, are good football players, you're like, okay, whatever. But if it's Josh Allen or Josh Rosen, was there another one selected after or not?
A Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, Lamar Jackson. But if it's one of those two that, you know, could have been in play at 5. Lamar Jackson wouldn't have been play at 5. Now, right, you could have traded back with the Bills and selected him later. That's what would make it sting. If it's a quarterback that you could have taken and you passed on him, that would hurt. And I've said all along I wouldn't touch Josh Rosen for a lot of different reasons. That doesn't mean he's not going to be a good football player. When I look at guys and I have questions about certain things, and you're picking at 5, I'm not touching guys when I have certain questions about their leadership and all those things. Now, he might be the most athletic, gifted guy, but I won't touch him. And so that's kind of how I felt about Josh Rosen. Now, he might turn out to be great, and he might get things figured out. There's a lot of reasons why Aaron Rodgers fell as far as he fell. And some of those same concerns were out there about him, and he got it figured out, and certainly not much of an issue with him. But if a Josh Allen and a Josh Rosen go on to be great players for a long time, you're kicking yourself. It's just the way it goes.
What would you have to look at over the course of how long that would have you doing about face and say, you want to know what? I was wrong, and I misdiagnosed that whole scenario.
It depends. You know, some guys you see it quicker than others. And some guys, like, right away with a guy like Carson Wentz, you're like, I know it. You can tell. From year one, he was pretty good. Then year two, he was great. So, but around 3 years, you know, you don't want to make judgment too soon. You look at RG3 and say, oh, man, we're kicking ourselves for this one. But no, you're really not, because it was only one time, one hit, 1 year. So I give 3 years or so, and then turn back and look and say, man, we really missed it, or I'm glad we didn't draft this guy.
And you'd have to see him, like, win a Super Bowl?
No, I mean, in 3 years, win a Super Bowl?
No, I'm just saying, I didn't need, like, I did reference a time span, I guess, but
I just need to see great quarterback. I mean, if you see great quarterback play, and you know what that looks like, and, I mean, you look at it, if a Jared Goff and a Carson Wentz don't win a Super Bowl in this year, and they play really good football, you're still thinking those are really good picks for those teams. So if Josh Allen and Josh Rosen are playing really good quarterback play and they're winning games and you just see something special there and they're consistent and they've done it for a couple years and year three comes and you're like, wow, they don't have to have a Super Bowl win for me to say that, you know, we shouldn't have passed on them. Just show me good quarterback play. Quarterback is the ultimate position, right? And you pass on one, you're kicking yourself. And you look at the Browns passing on, you know, a guy like Carson Wentz. and trading out of that spot, and then trading out of the Deshaun Watson pick the next year. I mean, they're kicking themselves. They know already that, you know what, you missed out on Deshaun Watson. That guy's a good football player.
And just like they'll be watching Carson Wentz and Deshaun Watson through that lens, that's how we'll be watching Josh Allen and Josh Rosen. That's just the reality of it.
That's it.
You know, for better or for worse, that's how we will view this thing. Interesting conversation. Let me just say this. Let me get ahead of it, or really get behind of it and get ahead of it. Got called out with the quickness. Siestas are taken in Spain.
Yeah.
Not France.
Yeah.
The premise was right.
Right. It's a nap. It's a rest time, right?
It's a nap.
But different countries.
Siesta in Spain.
Close enough.
Eat cheese in France or wherever they do.
I thought they did that in, what, Switzerland?
Possibly.
Yeah.
Possibly. Stokely's stoked up, and we will collectively get hyped next.
What's Brandon Stokely?
Yeah, I'm so stoked.
Stoked up about today.
Zach, the Rockies are balling right now. The Rockies are balling. I'm fired up about it. Seems like now every other day I'm stoked up about the Rockies. Six out of their last seven. Have you seen these pitching performances? Tyler Anderson, are you serious? 8 innings of shutout ball last night. Bullpen comes in, a little shaky, but gets the job done. 1-0. When was the last time you saw a 1-0 game at Coors Field? It never happens. Tyler Anderson, great job. Senzatella, Marquez, Freeland. These young pitchers are stepping up to the plate and showing what we thought we would see earlier in the season. Keep it going, Rocks. You're only 4 out. Got a tough stretch coming up, but, man, I'm fired up about what I'm seeing. Nolan, you want a winner? We got a winner. Stay here, buddy. And, Zach, that's what I'm stoked up about.
Brandon Stokely's stoked up.
That's what I'm talking about.
You know, I love the way that you ended that there, because what will make it incredibly hard for Nolan Arenado to leave is quite simply winning.
And now you put the pressure on management to go out there and be
buyers
and not sellers. So you're putting the pressure on those guys. If you continue to win and you stay close in your division, you've never won the West.
Right.
Never won it. And if you're close, I guarantee you, they're going to be buyers. And they're going to try to add to this group, which would be exciting. Because if you add one piece, another bat in this lineup, it could be a scary lineup.
There's no question.
The bats are starting to come alive. Arenado, you know, he's on fire. But if you add another bat or another, you know, arm in the bullpen, whatever it may be, you got something. So this team needs to make it hard for management to not be buyers.
Stoken, you just mentioned Nolan Arenado by name. This guy, Nolan Arenado, had one home run in the first 15 games of the season. That guy now is leading the National League in home runs. He's got 22 dingers in large part because, this is crazy, dude has 10 home runs in the last 19 games. He had 12 home runs just under 3 weeks ago. And now he's leading the entire National League in home runs. Really, really cool to see. And you also mentioned Tyler Anderson by name. He goes 8 innings strong yesterday, just 2 hits. How about the strikeouts? 9 strikeouts. I believe he had 8 in his last outing against the Dodgers. So he's got, you know, 17 strikeouts in the last 2 games, and he was dominant in that performance against the Dodgers.
Yep.
Maybe, you know, last Friday or whatever it was, the 3-1 win.
It's fun watching. To me, you watch these young pitchers, and if you got it's like football. If you got great defense, you know what, you got a chance every single week, and we know that. Obviously, being here in Denver here the last few years, but if you got great pitching, you got a chance every single game, and that's what you saw. That's what you've been seeing. That's what you saw last night. The bats go cold, just like offenses in the NFL. Look, some days you're just off. Some days those passes are incomplete. You're just off a little bit, but if you have great pitching, it gives you a chance. If you have a great defense, it gives you a chance every single week. And that's what you're seeing with these young pitchers. And if you can get more performances like this from Anderson, Senzatella, Freeland, Marquez, I mean, you're going to have a chance every single night. And that's what makes it fun.
And to
because
you're
right there.
To your point about the pitching, I can't believe what I'm about to say. The Giants scored 3 runs in the series at Coors Field. So please, anyone from the Bay or anyone from the Giants that pounds the table about the, you know, imbalance of playing in altitude, well, your club just came here and hit 152 as a team over the three games. 152 as a club, three total runs.
They got a good lineup, too.
They do.
So
they
it's not like, you know, they're rolling out bums over there. So they got a good lineup.
Look, Buster Posey, Andrew McCutchen, Brandon Crawford. It seems like Brandon Crawford always tags the Rockies. And he had a moment last night because Wade Davis comes in. They decide not to put Anderson out there in the ninth. Wade Davis comes in, and it was, you know, single, walk with Crawford at the plate. And I'm going, please no. Please no. Not on the 4th of July. Don't be a wet blanket over those fireworks. And although he tagged one, it went foul, and then he flies out the next at bat, game over. Thank goodness. And you mentioned Stokes, six of their last seven. Don't forget that one Sunday game against the Dodgers. They had a 4-2 lead late in the
Remember. And that was to sweep them.
That could have been a sweep of the Dodgers and Giants in back-to-back series.
But it's they missed an opportunity there. But what I liked was they finished this series off the right way. Don't win two and then let the last one slip away like they did against the Dodgers. You got to finish these series off, and that's what they were able to do with the sweep. And I was watching baseball last night when I got home, and the Cardinals and Diamondbacks were on, and all of a sudden Cardinals have a big lead. And who do they put in? Greg Holland in the seventh, I think. And it's hit, and bye-bye, Greg Holland.
Remember Greg Holland this time last year?
Yeah, he was unbelievable, but everything was scary. It was always a walk, right, and then a base hit, and then strikeout, pop out. You know, but everything was scary with him. And then it started catching up to him after the All-Star break, and it just wasn't the same. And you're seeing some of those struggles. Well, I saw it last night. Continued last night. I had flashbacks to the second half of last year.
Yeah, that was it definitely got shaky. But I remember for a while there, it was like, oh my goodness, Greg Holland is like,
what a pickup,
you know,
that was.
Mariano Rivera. Shut down city, and then it dissipated a little bit down the stretch there. But let me just say this. You mentioned the 1-0 game, how it never happens. This is only the 10th time at Coors Field there's been a 1-0 game. 10 times. You know, and it was the first time in nearly a decade. It was the first time since June 2010. So you're talking the better part of a decade since the last time something like that happened last night. Hey, look.
It's hard to do here.
The night before they scored eight, they won. The next night they scored one and they win.
That's what good teams do. Find ways to win games. And some days it's with the bat, some days it's with the pitching. And you were just seeing issues with that when they were going through that slump that they were going through. It was one thing was a mess, and the other thing was okay, and then the other thing was a mess, and they were having trouble winning baseball games. They were having trouble figuring it out. And now it seems like they turned the page and they're expecting to win.
Sure.
You know, they're expecting to go out there and win and not expecting to go out there and somebody screw it up. So it looks like a totally different baseball team. Hopefully they continue it.
Was it Nolan's comments that sparked this current run, or was it your comments?
Well, I think it was me. I think it was me. You know, about 6 days ago, I tweeted, and Patrick Saunders tweeted something, and I don't have the tweet right in front of me, but
it was encouraging, right?
It was an encouraging tweet, and it ended with "I believe," and because it was talking about the streak that was coming up for the Rockies, right? When you look at the last, you know, 18 games or whatever it was, and I got it coming up here, and Patrick Saunders tweeted, you know, "Fear not, Rockies fans. Rocks are 38-42 in fourth place, and eight. This was when they're 8 games out of first in the NL West." And he said, "In 2007, exactly the same." Okay, so that was his tweet, and I retweeted and I said, "I like it, but it's now or never. Next four series or the season, I believe. Let's go, Rockies!"
Wow!
And now look what they have done. So Nolan, nope, don't give the credit to Nolan.
I was referring to you
right
saying that the Rockies were done about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, no.
That's flapper. Water under the bridge.
Yeah, I don't remember that. I just remember this tweet that says, "I believe. Let's go."
You have a hard copy version of your optimism.
That's right. It's right here, and this is when they were 38-42. What are they now?
They are 44-43. They're officially a winning club.
So right after this tweet, they have gotten hot. I'm just saying. I don't know if it's coincidence or not, but I'm sure they were reading this. They posted it up on the bulletin board, and they're like, if Stoke believes, we got to believe. We're a good baseball team, and look at the Rockies now.
And if you zoom out a little bit, they've won 10 of their last 15 now. 10 of the last 15. Now, keep an eye out. I don't know how much people watch Seattle Mariner baseball. That team is terrific. The Seattle Mariners are a terrific club this season, and I can't really explain it. Because Cano's not even in the mix, right? Remember, he got hit with the Lane Johnson can't stay off the juice. But they're a 55-win team. The Mariners are a 55-win team. In virtually any other division outside the AL East, they're in first place. But they got the Astros right ahead of them with 57. So look at the AL West, a 57-win team and a 55-win team and a 48-win team all there. So
they're 8-2 in their last 10 games, the Mariners are, so... hopefully a ball club that is ready to lose a few games. Hopefully they're on their hot streak and they're ready to get cold, because we got six out of our next nine before the All-Star breaks against them.
Correct. Three there, three here on the back end before the break. Someone says, Zach, don't get sucked in by the Rockies' recent resurgence. Rockies notorious for slumping after the All-Star break. I just prefer to live in the moment.
Yep.
You know,
what's going on now, and hopefully they can continue it. But they've given themselves a chance. I mean, they were eight games back 6 days ago.
Yeah,
and now they're four games back. So they're giving themselves a chance for games to matter after the All-Star break, where it looked like things were heading in the wrong direction, and they could head into the All-Star break, you know, 12 games out of first, and this thing be a wrap. Now at least they're giving themselves a chance for the season to matter after the All-Star break. Now, you got to finish these next nine games. You can't go, you know, 2-7 and all of a sudden be 10 games out. Yeah, it's a wrap.
Right.
But so if you finish these next nine games off the right way, you give yourself a chance to play meaningful games after the break.
The Broncos rookie class officially all inked.
Nice.
The last domino to fall was Rolls-Royce Freeman, the third-round selection for the Broncos out of Oregon. All right, this is per Mike Kliss. Freeman, who was a 71st overall selection, will receive a $997,000 signing bonus on a deal worth about $4.011 million overall. So just about $4 million for the deal, nearly $1 million in signing bonus.
Good to get him done.
Yeah.
Good to get him done. You know, we're expecting him to compete for the starting job. A lot of hype around him. Obviously, it's like the backup quarterback. You know, when you've never seen it and there's a need for that guy, all of a sudden, you know, he's the next Barry Sanders. But
right.
It's good to have him under contract so he can go out there first day of camp, be ready to go in a competition where a lot of people are expecting him to possibly win the job and contribute right away and make a big impact.
I'll tell you, you know, we were kind of having some fun earlier in the show with these Madden ratings, these rookie Madden ratings that came out. And, you know, Bradley Chubb was second to Roquan Smith, but he was, you know, like I said, second. Cortland Sutton wound up on the top five list as well. And you know, we're putting a lot of stock into, you know, Madden ratings. But I know Madden does, and they take it seriously. But you know who else takes things seriously is fantasy football players. And a lot of time, effort, devotion is put into preseason fantasy football projections. And Rolls-Royce Freeman is drafted in every league. He is drafted in every league. He's drafted before Devontae Booker in most cases. I think the fantasy football community is looking at Rolls-Royce Freeman as a potential
Kareem Hunt type of impact.
He's going to touch the ball a lot.
Yes. And with there being a need, and there's not a veteran player, an established starter, the door's wide open. So, you know, if you have a late-round pick in fantasy and you're looking for maybe a steal, you're looking for somebody that could pay off in a big way, Royce Freeman's a hot name.
Yep, and we've talked about his versatility at Oregon, where he, you know, he would return kicks, but he was a pass catcher. 79 receptions for him in his career, if my memory serves me correctly, at Oregon to go with the 942 touches. So, you know, I know that was looked at as a potential negative before the draft. I don't think that's the way it's being viewed over there at Dove Valley. But, man, wouldn't it be great? And let me just go here for a second. I know we collectively, as is the Broncos country, it's not a consensus about Devontae Booker, but I know everyone kind of wants more. If he could elevate his level a degree or two, Devontae Booker, and be a secondary back to Rolls-Royce Freeman, who touches the ball a lot on the backfield, but is also used in the passing game, which we know Booker can be used as well. It's sort of like, what day are you catching me on? Which, when I talk about this room, I'm feeling a little bit optimistic. I got to tell you, I am.
Well, here's the thing for me. You know, it was almost the same way I felt about Mark Sanchez. If he's not the starter, why is he around? So if Royce Freeman's going to be your starter, then let's just move on from Devontae Booker. And I said that about Mark Sanchez in training camp and the morning crew. You know, they knocked me for it. What do you mean? Who's going to be the veteran presence? And you know what? Oh, by the way, 3 weeks later, what happened? He wasn't the starter, and they cut him. Okay? But that's the same way I feel about Devontae Booker. If he's not the starter, why is he on the football team? Running backs are all over the place. We got a lot of young ones. So, you know, why are we going to give some of these opportunities away from, you know, a D'Angelo Henderson or a David Williams or Philip Lindsay to go to Devontae Booker when he's not, you know, going into his third year and he's not the starter yet? We're right. Wasting time. Mm. Don't need to waste time anymore. Mm. Time to move on and give these other guys opportunities. That you know what? Every time I've seen D'Angelo Henderson with opportunities, he scored a touchdown.
Right.
Just touch the preseason, then the regular season. And but if just as long as it's not a fake punt, it's good.
Right.
It's good.
Don't do it to him, McMahon. Don't do it to him, Tom. Right.
Tom, I guarantee you, Tom's going to run up there and call a timeout.
He better.
He will. Tom will call a timeout if all of a sudden the opposing punt return teams like doing jumping jacks, yelling that they have offensive linemen on the field.
But there was
for
a
punt.
Right.
Nobody keeps offensive linemen on the field for a punt. Offensive lineman can run down the field? Who are you fooling? That might have been the worst fake in the history of the NFL.
But
worst design of a play.
Shame on you or shame on me? I mean,
shame on everybody.
Shame on them for coming out like that, but shame on us for not doing anything about it.
What?
Wait, no.
I don't understand what you're saying because we were the ones that were screwing it up. Shame on us.
You know
how
what I was just thinking? You know what I was thinking?
You were thinking. You had me really confused.
A lot of traffic in my own head because I'm thinking back to when Tom McMahon could have called a timeout in even a more egregious situation in Indianapolis.
In Indy. Okay, I got you.
So it's like,
now.
Wait, so, I mean, hopefully a lot of lessons are learned from along this long,
winding
road.
Yeah, I forgot Tom McMahon had a little snafu over there.
Little, it's the worst I've ever seen. Like, ever. Ever. There could not be another one in the history of the league that could be worse than 3 years ago in Indy.
Yes, that trumps all bad special teams play.
Right. But here's what else I was just thinking about the running backs. I know this is going to sound a little bit backward because of how desperate we need production at the position. The Broncos actually have a little bit of margin for error in terms of just the personnel. Because they have a full group right now, although everyone's young, it's a full group, and you just need about two of them to work.
Yeah.
So between Devontae Booker, D'Angelo Henderson, Rolls-Royce Freeman, David Williams, and Philip Lindsay, that's five young backs all under the age of 23. You don't need to go 5 for 5. You can go, would that be 40%?
Whoa. Don't get
just
ahead of yourself.
Two of the five.
A squared plus B squared is C squared.
Thank you, Tom.
Yes. You know, you really don't even have to do that, Zach. Give me one out of the five.
You think that's enough?
Well, one out of the five, be a really good player. You know, be a Kareem Hunt type of player, and then you got it made, then the other guys can just be backups. You don't need greatness from your backups. Just be solid backups. Be contributors. But if you can hit one out of these five, well, really, is it really five? Are we really holding out hope that Booker can be, you know,
I mean, he's among the candidates, is he not? When you look at the room,
I think I've seen enough to see that Booker can't be an elite running back.
But as much as I respect your football opinion, it's not about what you think. It's what the Broncos think. And they have showed you again and again the optimism they have around Booker.
Well, it's just about him going out there and doing it, right? I mean, he's got to do it. So,
have you seen him do it?
No.
Then why is he still in the mix?
That's what I'm saying. So that's why I'm taking him out of the equation of being a, you know, a true every down starter that's going to make an impact. And I'm looking at hopefully Royce Freeman, D'Angelo Henderson, David Williams. You know, I don't know if Philip Lindsay will be an every down back.
He was at passing day.
But he was at passing day, so he could be. Throw him in the mix, too. passing day.
Spit out my coffee here. About the Booker thing, simple question. Do you think the folks making the decisions over there in Dove Valley, Gary Kubiak, John Elway, Vance Joseph, do you think they're still holding out hope that Devontae Booker can be the guy that you're referring to?
I think they're hoping it's Royce Freeman. I don't know what they're thinking. You know, are they still thinking that Paxton Lynch could turn out to be something? You know, they tell us that, but do they really believe that? So what do they really believe about Devontae Booker? Do they think maybe now that he's going to get a lot of more opportunities and if he's healthy? And look, you know, we said it last week, earlier in the week, I'm hoping that they don't turn the page on Booker. I want to see him get an opportunity one more time. I don't know. Just a nice guy in me. Just one more time just to see. Just
the preseason? In the preseason?
Yes.
Okay.
But if he's not going to be the starter, why? Why keep him around is how I feel about it. Same way I felt about Mark Sanchez. If he's not the starter, then look, we're turning the page, especially running back. I mean, are you serious? We got some other good ones.
I think we do.
I know we do in D'Angelo Henderson. The guy's a good running back. And you said earlier, you know, a couple weeks ago that you think that, you know, he possibly could be cut and could be a cut casualty if he doesn't have a good camp. But I know what I've seen from him, and that guy's a good football player. He's a good running back. And
I haven't backed off that point. I'm still right there with you.
I thought you did.
I was the original D'Angelo. I'm D'Angelo 2020. Okay. I'm big on D'Angelo.
All right.
But okay. I don't trust the football judgment because I watched what happened a year ago.
And it's different this year. It's different this year.
I hope so. But a part of me is that's why I go down that direction because I saw what I saw a year ago and I can't unsee it. I can't unsee it. So
but see, I know, and I'm with you, but you got to turn the page because I've already seen difference between last year and this year with just the running backs in general and how they're handling that group. You know, we're out there, we're seeing, you know, Royce Freeman with the ones. We're seeing Booker with the ones. D'Angelo Henderson. Lindsey's doing a lot, you know, in two-minute drills. So you're seeing these guys rotating, and I think they're taking a different approach. Vance Joseph's already said it. I think this year is a different, you know, Vance realized that, look, I got to do things differently. He said it, and he's talking about his coaches, and he's talking about how he's handling different groups. And the running back group, I think, is at the top of that list. And it's going to be, hey, the best player will play, and I think the best player will play one week, and it might be somebody the next week. I hope that's the case. And it's not just like C.J. Anderson every week or Devontae Booker. You know, your starter week one, you're going to be the starter the whole year because you're the starter.
Right, right. No, I feel you.
I think it's going to be different, and I'm holding out hope that it's going to be different because of what we've seen this offseason and what we've heard from Vance Joseph.
Go get Jamal!
Go get Jamal! Yes! Hey, you're driving that bandwagon. I can jump in on that bus, too.
Why
because,
not? I'm not sure.
I think maybe not right now.
Right,
but let me take a look at Booker. Sure. Early in camp, see what he looks like. And if he's not getting the job done, no need to keep him around to be the backup. Go get you another veteran. I would love to see Jamal Charles get that opportunity. Yeah, will that happen here? You know, probably not.
We're kind of saying it tongue-in-cheek, but yeah. I think we should be open to the idea of it if you don't like what you see after 3 weeks of camp.
Absolutely. Open to all possibilities, okay, to improve your football team.
Why not? Why not? That's what you do, right?
If you're trying to win games, you're trying to save your job, absolutely. Trying to win 5-11, everything is on the table.
Is Joey Chestnut an athlete?
No. Sorry, Big Sexy.
They keep score. He has competition to the left and right of him, and it's physically taxing.
Can't go there. Sorry.
Can't go there.
Not an athlete. Sorry.
All right.
I'm running out of here. Big Sexy's going to be upset. what do you say?
You know what? I always used to say no. Does it take training? Check. Is it physically taxing? Check. Open competition amongst other humans? Check. Scoreboard? Check. 74 dogs. 74 dogs!
Jay Love said one of the criteria should be, can you get injured also?
Yeah, he could have died. It's just facts. Oh, my goodness.
Not an athlete.
An off-season for Talking Broncos. That continues with our guys. The Drive coming up next.